really want to know what someone is passionate about, spend an hour or so talking to them. The story is told of a man who had gone on an airplane, and as he went up to each seat, he was collectively asking each person, "Do you have grandchildren?" They said yes, he would move on to the next seat. "Do you have grandchildren?" Yes, he'd move on to the next seat. Till finally he got to one seat and he asked the young lady, "Do you have grandchildren?" And she said, "Well, no, sir, I don't." He said, "Good, let me tell you about mine." We understand what our passions are. And when we are passionate and love something dearly, then we want to talk about it and we want to tell people about it. Maybe it is your grandchildren. Maybe it's your college football team. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your education or what you're striving for in school. Whatever the case is, if you're passionate about it, you want to tell people about it. And with that, we understand what is important to us. But I think sometimes that we as Christians shy away from talking about what should be the most passionate to us, and that is Jesus Christ. Why is it that we don't talk about Jesus as if he is our passion? We often refer to Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary that we look at in the book of Matthew as the Passion Week. That was his passion and understanding what his responsibility was and why God sent him because of the love that he had for us, John 3:16. We understand that God had a passion for our souls and that he wants everyone to be saved and everyone to have the opportunity to repent, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. So when you think about the idea of what it means to be passionate about something, whether it's our career, our families, or our sports teams, we want people to know how much we are passionate about it. If you don't think that's the case, look at the average college football fan on Saturday and look what they're wearing as soon as they roll out of bed. If you look at me, more than likely I'm going to have my LSU socks on, right? Because we're passionate about it and we want people to know what we love. But I think the same also applies to us being Christians. But the reality of it is, especially in the climate and culture that we live in today, we don't often talk about Jesus because of the repercussions of it. We don't talk about it because we don't know how people are going to react to Jesus, right? And so with that, many times we often shy away from talking about Jesus and having the passion that we should. When you think about the confession that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, he said it is a life or death confession that you're making. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus said, if you'll stand before man today and you'll confess me with your mouth, as Paul talks about in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, for the act of confessing and showing that we confess Jesus, that we want to speak like Jesus, walk like Jesus, and talk like Jesus, then we're willing to confess Jesus with our mouths. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I will stand by your side as your mediator on the day of judgment for God, with God, and pronounce you not guilty, because you were willing to also confess me. But Jesus said, if you deny me by our actions and not speaking of or talking about, Jesus said, I'll also deny you before my Father in heaven. So imagine the scene being played out for us as you stand before the judgment scene, and Jesus says, I don't know who that is. I've never seen this person. I know nothing about them. Because he wasn't willing to confess me, Jesus said, I'm not willing to stand before you with and next to you on the day of judgment. So when we understand the importance of talking about Jesus, confessing Jesus, we're telling publicly people who we are and why we confess him as our Lord and Savior. Because we understand the importance of what it means to make that confession with our mouth and why that's such an important aspect concerning the gospel plan of salvation that we know we all obey when we come to the cross of Calvary. We understand the necessity of hearing the gospel, right? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. We understand with that, Mark 16:15 and 16, that we've got to believe what we hear. But then there's the next important step that lays out the foundation for everything else. Just as Jesus wanted Peter to confess in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 and following, he wanted Peter to confess who he was so that everybody else would also know around him as his disciples. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Well, many believe that you're one of the prophets, you're Elijah, you're one of these many important people." And with that, in the realm of the, in the context of all that he's saying there, that's a pretty high compliment. But Jesus said, "Okay, Peter, that's what man says. What do you say? I want to know what you're going to say, Peter. I need to hear it with your mouth and your confession of who you think that I am." This isn't a game, Jesus says. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter said, "Well done, blessed Bar-Jonah." And then he goes in to tell him what he's going to do concerning the importance of him making that confession, because with that, Peter was going to be given the keys concerning the entrance requirements to get into heaven. And with that, Peter just made the first step concerning that salvation. You make the confession with your mouth. But in everyday life, it's easy for us to talk about Jesus within the confines of this building, right? To claim and talk about and confess and witness, so to speak, as the world likes to call it, who Jesus Christ is to us, because that's why we're here. But it's the rest of the week that really matters, if you think about it, because with that, we're shining our lights for the world to see. And Jesus said, "Let me tell you how important this is and why you need to make sure that you're going to confess me." Back in around the 1850s or later, there was something called the Restoration Movement. And by that, meaning that many men were coming together collectively to say, we've got to get back to New Testament teaching. And that was absolutely what needed to happen. Because of the denominational plethora that was taking place, and all of these factions were beginning to splinter off of the one true church that we read about in the Bible, it was becoming an issue, and men said, we've got to collectively come back to the New Testament teachings of the Bible that God talks about. And so with that, they made that collective effort to make sure they did exactly that. That pushed into the 1900s, even into the 1950s, but so much so to the point of wanting to move away from the Protestant and Pentecostal movement that the pendulum swung so far left that we wanted to distance ourselves from anything that almost seemed religious in society. So it's not that the men didn't have the right avenue or the right idea in mind of wanting to make sure that we separated ourselves, but with that, we almost distanced ourselves to the point where we didn't want to tell people that we were New Testament Christians because we might seem quote-unquote denominational, right? The world can't see us that way. So therefore, we took that light that we sing in VBS, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I almost wanted everybody to do that this morning. But we tell our kids, right, hold that light up and swing that light around for the whole world to see. But collectively, when we get out into the world, we do what? Hide it under that bushel. Put it under the bed. Hide it under our seat. Because with that, if people see us confessing who we are by living out that sermon, so to speak, that we often hear about, right, then we're hiding that light that Jesus says that light cannot be hidden because it sits on a hill for all the world to see. Because light has no, what, relationship with darkness. And when you look at Matthew chapter 5, what Jesus is telling us is not to be afraid to talk about him. We see the Beatitudes here that's given concerning the, what it is to be blessed and what it is to be a disciple, what it is to follow after Jesus, and all of these many different things. But as we get down to verse 13 and following, he says that we are believers because we are the salt and we are the light. Salt is something that preserves. Salt is something that flavors. The light is something that shines for everybody to see. Jesus said, you are completely different from everybody else because you savor, you flavor, you shine your light for the world to see, and you have to be different. And so when we are different, when the world sees that we're different, the world reacts to us differently. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Jesus said, if you lose who you are, that you're seasoning the world with who you are and how you live, how's the rest of the world supposed to be seasoned then? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under men. But he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Why would you light a light and then stick it in the closet? You wouldn't do that, right? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Over and over again, the image of light shining in darkness is what Jesus is portraying to us and what it means to collectively shine our lights for the world to see. The world has to see Jesus. Because if the world doesn't see Jesus, brethren, then things like yesterday continue to happen over and over and over again. Because when the world sees the light of Jesus, the world acts differently in that light. Because darkness wants to run away from the light, right? Darkness doesn't want to have any part of that light. Jesus said, stand up and be heard. I know, Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted and prosecuted for who you are and the title that you bear, but He said, I will stand with you. Confess me that everybody might know who you belong to. But we don't always do that, do we? Maybe we're afraid of being fired at our jobs. I understand that, society today. Don't talk about religion at work, right? Don't talk about religion. Thanksgiving's coming up. You definitely don't want to talk around that around the supper table, or turkey might start flying, right? So we know with what we talk about reflects our passion in who we love. So why would we shy away from it? It doesn't mean that we can't talk about it. Christians are told to be quiet about their faith. Stop trying to convert people. Jobs are telling us don't talk about religion or you're going to have to go talk to the HR department. But does that mean that you can't live your life in such a way that when somebody asks you who you are or what you believe, that you can't say, well, I'm a Christian? Because with that, they're asking you why you behave in such a manner, right? Some countries have even made it illegal to attempt to convert anyone to what is called Christianity. But we're blessed here. We don't have to worry about that. We can go out into the world and we can preach and proclaim it, but we shy away from it because of the culture, again, that we live in today. Today, the world and the Word of God is available in more languages than it's ever been before. That we have the opportunity to take the gospel to the masses. It's interesting that I see some religions out there, and I'm not picking on religions today, so to speak. What I'm picking on is those who hide the light of Jesus Christ. And you have so-called communities of believers of God, so to speak, that hide themselves in communities in the middle of the country and don't talk to anybody about Jesus and yet claim to be followers of Jesus. But yet, how can you get around what Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 tells us? To go all in the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? Mark 16, 15 and 16 says to preach the gospel and he that believes shall be saved, right? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So because we have the opportunity and the responsibility given to us in the Great Commission, it's not something that we omit or take out of the gospel, but that we're commanded to follow because of the gospel. So again, if you're passionate about it, why wouldn't you want to share it? Men are unable to suppress the light of Christ for very long because that light is always going to shine. Men through the centuries have tried to do exactly that. They've tried to hide the light of Jesus Christ, but they haven't been able to. So we can't be afraid, no matter what the repercussions might be for us, concerning talking about who Jesus Christ is. This next point I want to point to our young people. Start talking about Him when you're young. Because if you get in the habit of talking about Him when you're young, it's not going to bother you so much when you become old like the rest of us, right? That is, we start that habit. We start to teach our children. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. They were taught at a very young age concerning the commandments of God. These things were to be taught in the morning, in the evening, before they went to bed, when they would get up in the morning, the first thing, when they're walking about, when they're sitting around the dinner table, it said. Every opportunity was to be used to talk about the Word of God. And so we do the same thing with our children, that we teach them early, but that we also tell them not to be afraid of who they are as Christians at school. I can't imagine, and I'm pretty sure, that high school today is completely different than it was when I was in high school. But I profess also, as a teenager, that I didn't talk about Jesus very much. Again, it wasn't a priority, right? I was afraid to. I was afraid the way people were going to look at me because of what I was talking about. That wasn't the cool thing, right? Do I look back on it with regret? Of course I do. But again, our young people aren't the future of the church. They are the church today, and we need to treat them as such. And because of that, we tell them the importance of what it means to stand up for their faith and to let that little light shine so that everybody in the school and everybody around can see who they are and why they profess to be Christians and not be ashamed of it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul understood the power behind the gospel and what it means. But I also understand what our kids face today is completely different than what I faced in high school. We didn't have the issue of homosexuality and transgenderism. It wasn't talked about. You didn't hear about those things. But yet today, it's in the schools. You can't deny it. It's right there in their faces. Their friends are following these specific ways. And so they have to be able to shine their light to these people without turning them off of who Jesus Christ is. And so it's a difficult thing. Do I profess to have all the answers? No, I don't. But I know one thing, just as Ken was talking about in class this morning, of how Jesus met the woman at the well, that he had to go through Samaria for a specific reason, because that woman needed to see Jesus. And so with that, as we've talked about before concerning evangelism, evangelism doesn't discriminate. And we meet people where they are. Jesus sat down with the sinners and the publicans, and the Pharisees said, "What are you doing?" He said, "These people need the doctor." And so with that, Jesus wasn't afraid of what other people would say about him or how they would drag him off or collectively talk about who he was and why he was different than everybody else. Jesus said, "I'm going to speak the truth in love." And with that, that doesn't mean we turn people away. It doesn't mean we hide our light because we are God's children. It means we let people see who we are because we are God's children. And when people see that light through the lens by which we portray being Christians, and we show people that we have respect for them because they're human beings, doesn't negate the sin, but we respect them because we're human beings, people begin to ask about that light that you're shining. And that's what we're trying to do. That's the goal that we're trying to get across. So don't be afraid of being part and ready to give a defense of the hope that is in you that Peter talked about in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. So if you're young, if you're a teenager, if you're in college, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also never, ever, ever forget the confession that you made when you became a Christian. You confess with your mouth who your Lord and Savior was, just as we read about in Acts 8 and verse 37. Remember when Philip came across the eunuch, right? The eunuch was all excited. Philip said, "Who do you believe that Jesus Christ is?" He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." "Here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" he said. "Let's take care of this right now," he said. And it said that he went on his way after that rejoicing because of the confession that he made concerning who Jesus Christ was. Do you remember how excited you were the day that you were able to make that confession and put on Jesus Christ in baptism? Do you remember how excited you were when all of your past sins were put aside and cast away to be remembered no more, Micah 7:19? Because you made that confession, that first step towards your salvation, you told the world who you were going to follow from this point forward. And you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so, brethren, we must never forget the confession that we make. I believe many people today deny Him simply and remain silent and don't defend Him and His teachings because they're afraid of what might happen. And we know that's a real reality today. And it's unfortunate, and it is what it is. But we also have a responsibility to shine our lights so that it isn't what it is. And because when we do that, the world sees things differently because they see the light of Jesus shining. Again, later on, Paul would write to the Christians in Rome and declared, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe with your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." And then Paul goes on to say, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto for salvation." So I'm taking that first step towards who I believe Jesus Christ and why He cleanses me in that watery grave of baptism. Why all of my sins are completely remitted, right? The ephesos is what the Greek word says. I'm liberated and free from my past because I first made that step concerning my confession. And now I want the world to know what that confession is and what I see and what I talk about. But it's amazing, brethren, and I've been reared in the church my whole life. But it's amazing to me that the religious world, the denominational world, does a better job than us sometimes than the Lord's church. And that hurts when you think about it. Case in point, when I was preaching in Alabama, we did a commercial campaign with the church that I was preaching for. And with that, we had several gospel preachers put together these 15 and 30 second commercials. Very nice, very well done. And so we had to raise support because to put these commercials on national television was going to be over $3,000 a month. And so we went around to raise support from congregations to do this. But you know that I actually had one congregation tell me, he said, "We can't use those commercials because denominations use commercials." My response was, "They also use the Bible too. That doesn't mean we stop using it." it doesn't mean that we let the devil get a foothold on us to be afraid of what it means to shine our lights as God's children. Because we have a responsibility, right? That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to quench our fire and stop our light from shining. And he's going to try his best to do that. Scare tactics are the best thing to use. If you make that Christian confession by opening your mouth and telling the world who Jesus is, you're telling Jesus that you stand with him no matter the consequences. More unfortunate than that, the world is seeking to extinguish that light of Christ, and when Christians themselves work to cover it up or hide it, that same light in their own lives begins to dim and fall away. And brethren, we have to make sure that's never the case. The world cannot extinguish the light, but believers can suppress the light that God gives them. That we can literally put it away and hide it under a bushel, right? We can put it under the bed, take it off the lampstand. We don't want anybody to see it or anyone to know about it. They can suppress it. You can hide it through living the rest of your lives in the world or through the constant complaining and grumbling or refusing to share the gospel message with those that are around us. So when somebody asks you about the gospel message or about Jesus Christ, what is your response? How do you respond to that question with somebody in the world? Question. Several months ago, back in March, we did the kindness campaign. Remember that, where we had the cards and we simply did a kind act so somebody could see who Jesus was? Have you stopped doing that? You see, with that, you're shining your light and letting the world to see. It's just not confined to one month. It's confined to who we are and how we live. And so with that, the light of Christ cannot be hidden. If a man lets Christ's light shine through him, brethren, there's nothing that the world can do to put it out. Nothing. Only you can stop the light from shining by walking away or by not serving him. And we can successfully fail to let the light shine within us too, can't we? Remember what Jeremiah said? That was the shortest retirement of a gospel preacher ever, if you think about it. He said, "Lord, I quit." But wait, hold on, I can't quit, Lord. He said, "This is a fire deep down in my bones. I can't quench what's inside of me. I've got to tell people about it. I've got to show people about it. I've got to talk about it because I need people to know who God is." And so with that, we have that same opportunity to be infectious, right? Because the world sees who we are and what we love and what we're passionate about. It's interesting, and I'll be the first to knock college football fans because I'm one of them. But I wish sometimes Christians would be just as passionate about the church as they are about college football. We wear the gear, right? We show people our colors. We flat on our cars. We put the bumper stickers on our cars. We make sure that we're where we need to be on Saturday to watch our football games. But what if we did that the rest of our lives concerning Jesus and shining the light of Christ in the church? What if we wore our gear, so to speak? That's who we are as Christians and how we live our lives. And the world saw how passionate we were about those things. I'm not saying it's bad to watch college football or to be passionate about anything. What I'm saying is we truly show the world what's most important to us by the way that we live out our lives. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." Today, what is your confession? Who do you follow and what are you passionate about? You've got the light. Now let's let it shine. Let the world see who you are by shining the light for them to see who Jesus is. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men, the world, that they may see who you are, your good works, because those works glorify God." And that's why we're here, right? For the glorification of God and what he did for us through Calvary on that old wooden cross a long time ago. Today, everyone has the opportunity to make that confession. And guess what? Sometimes because we shy away from doing that as Christians, if we turn our backs on him and stop making that confession with our lives, it's the same thing as not following him. And so today, if you're here as a New Testament Christian, as a child of God, maybe in your life you've stopped confessing him or stopped talking about him. Maybe your relationship isn't right with him. Whatever it is, you know in your heart what you need to fix. And only you can do that. So I encourage you to make that confession today again, to shine your light and show why it's important. And if you're here this morning and you want your light to shine because you believe what Jesus Christ did for you and you want to make that confession yourself today, you have that wonderful opportunity. You see, you can stand before this audience today and confess with your mouth who Jesus Christ is, that he is your Lord and Savior. You can repent of your sins and put them behind you, as it tells us in Acts 2 and verse 38 and Luke 13, 3 and verse 5. That you can make that confession with your mouth, repent of your past sins, and put on Christ in baptism, Acts 2 and verse 38 and 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And with that, all of your sins are cast, washed away, and you become a brand new person. A person who gets to shine their light before God as together we stand and as we sing.
Jesus is tender, they call him.